Welcome to Lesson 6 in our study in the Epistles as a part of the Prophecy series. Today we're going to continue looking at 2 Thessalonians and Paul's teaching concerning the coming of Christ and the certainty of it. We looked at some of his teaching from this letter in the last lesson, Lesson 5. Well, today we're going to focus on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12, and we're going to see the time of confusion that Paul is going to present to us and talk about. So as we look at this section of verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to divide it into several parts. So the first part we're going to look at is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, the day of the Lord. Now that phrase, the day of the Lord, we have heard that from other prophets as well as from Jesus, and it refers to the reality of the end. So let's take a look at what the passage is saying. So if we're looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, here's what verse 1 says. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the son of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? All right, so let's take a look at it. And if you remember, I told you when we talk about looking at epistles, they are written to address a specific occasion or some question that those who are receiving the letters have. And we've already seen before that the Thessalonians were quite confused concerning the teachings about the second coming. We saw that in the first letter, now we see it in the second letter. So if we're going to take this section of verses, let's look at it, and we're going to see, first of all, in chapter 2, verse 1, the issue. What is the issue that Paul is trying to address here? So Paul addresses the issue of the coming of Jesus Christ and the church's gathering to him. So again, this is the whole issue again. It was back even in the first epistle when he mentioned the rapture. There was a concern about when Jesus is coming, what is the reality of his coming, and what about the church being gathered to him? And let's be honest, those are questions that we still wrestle with to this day. So I want you to notice he's going to look now as we look at chapter 2, verse 2 through the first part of chapter 3, we see the request that is happening here. Here's what Paul is wanting from them. He doesn't want them to be unsettled or shaken by any supposed letter that came from him. So obviously, they were concerned, and the fact is that people would send letters instead of going because travel took quite a bit of time to get there. Supposedly, there may have been a letter that came, that supposedly came from Paul with some teaching that maybe even said that Jesus Christ had already come back. Well, he doesn't want them to be unsettled by that of a supposed letter or even an angel, as he says in the passage, or a spoken word, somebody coming and telling them something. He doesn't want them to be unsettled. This supposed letter was claiming the day of the Lord has come. So we've got to be careful of people who will come along and try and tell us that Jesus Christ has already come. Now, we've already discussed this in the introductory material to the prophecy series, that there are those who believe that Jesus Christ already came back in AD 70. Now, the reality is they exist in this world who say that Jesus came back. Another one would be a cult, such as the Seventh-day Adventists, who believed, their founder believed, that Jesus came back and now is in the heavenly sprinkling, making intercession and sacrifice for our blood, with his blood for our sin. These are things that you and I need to be aware of. We need to be on guard. So here is a letter that supposedly is saying that the day of the Lord has come. We're not to be shaken by that. They were not to let anyone deceive them concerning the timing of Jesus' coming. Now, we've already looked at a lot of different passages in the scripture. Here we are in the epistles, where it is very clear that Jesus says no one knows when he will come. And when he comes, no one will be expecting it, but they will be surely surprised by what was happening with his coming. It'll be happening unexpectedly, and everyone will know, and the world will mourn. Now, to give you an example now, for you and I as readers, and for them who originally received the letter, he wants to talk about some things that are going to be happening concerning that day, the day of the Lord. So I want you to notice with me chapter 2, second part of verse 3 through verse 4, we're going to see events concerning the day. The first one that we need to be aware of, we've already heard some discussion of it even in our culture as far as in Christianity, we see in the second part of verse 3 is the falling away. The falling away, which in the scripture verse that we were looking at, the ESV refers to it as the rebellion. Here's what I want you to notice. Paul states that before Jesus comes, there will be a falling away that will take place. Now, what I want you to understand is falling away. What do you mean falling away, George? Well, the falling away refers to Christians who leave the faith and become apostate. These are folks who have at some point expressed belief and faith in Jesus Christ, but they then come to a place where they say, nope, I don't believe that. I'm walking away. We see that happening today, even in our North American culture. People, quote, deconstructing their faith, walking away, leaving the faith and becoming apostate. In fact, here's what Hebrews says. Hebrews is an interesting letter because it was written to Jews who were thinking about leaving the faith in Christ and returning back to Mosaic Judaism, that is the law. And so here's what the writer writes in chapter 4, verse 4. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience. Here, the writer is talking about those who will enter into God's rest, but then there are some who will not enter into God's rest because they went off in disobedience. They became apostate. Now, that's the first event that we see here concerning the day that he wants us to focus on. Now, when we get again to the last part of verse 3 through verse 4, we're going to see the Antichrist revealed. The Antichrist, one of the major figures when we talk about the return of Christ. So here's what Paul's going to teach concerning him. First of all, he's going to point out that next, the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. So in the future, there's going to be this falling away, and then the man of sin is revealed, the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is also known as the son of perdition, or the son doomed to destruction. So isn't that an interesting title? So this is basically saying this is a guy who's going to be revealed. There's no hope for him because he's ultimately going to end up being destroyed. What it also tells us in this passage is here's what I want you to see what Paul's saying. The Antichrist opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or worshiped. So this person who will exist and be revealed at some point will present himself as being above every god of the earth, even the God of the universe, the Most High God, the God of Israel, the God of Jesus, and he will be worshiped. In fact, we also see that the Antichrist proclaims that he is God and sets himself up in the temple. Which temple? Well, the future Jewish temple, because right now there is no temple. There hasn't been a temple since the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70. And this person, this son of perdition, this son doomed to destruction, will proclaim that he is God. And when there is this future temple that will be built in Jerusalem, and by the way, they want to build this temple, although they can't right now, this person will proclaim himself to be God in the temple. And with that will cause the cessation of sacrifices in the temple at that point. Now, he's going to tell us something in verse 5 that is important for them and is important for us. So in verse 5, the call to remembrance. What do you mean the call to remembrance? Well, Paul asks the Thessalonians if they don't remember his teaching concerning this. So he's basically saying, I'm not giving you new information here. I want you to recall that, yes, I have taught you this before. I have told you about the falling away. I've told you about the Antichrist and what he's going to be doing and so forth. So he's telling them, don't you remember I have taught you this before? He's kind of reinforcing, because notice, he's already said that they have been confused by others. He's just reinforcing, what did I teach you when I was with you? Well, that brings us to the next major section that we're going to be looking at here, and that is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12, the mystery of lawlessness. This is what you and I need to see about this time of confusion. It is the issue of lawlessness and the mystery of it. So I want you to notice what verse 6 says. And you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders, and all the wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All right, so let's take a look at this final major section that we're going to look at today from these verses. First of all, in verses 6 to 7, he's going to talk about the time of restraining. The time of restraining. What do you mean the time of restraining? Well, the restraining of the revelation of the Antichrist is what he's talking about. So when we get to verse 6, we see the purpose. Here's what I want you to notice. Paul reminds them that there is a restraining so that the Antichrist is revealed in his time. So there's this restraining that takes place. Now, there's a lot of discussion concerning what do you mean by the restraining. Could it be the church? And so therefore, when the church is removed in the rapture, that restraining, which was holding the Antichrist back, will be removed with the church. Some say it's the removal of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in this world, again with the church, because the Holy Spirit inhabits the church. So there is this issue of restraining. That restrainer will be removed. Now, when we come to verse 7, we see the mystery at work. Mystery, what do you mean? Mystery is something that hasn't been revealed. Here's what I want you to see. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work for the revelation of Antichrist. So what he's trying to tell us is already right now, in their day as well as in our day, there is a mystery of lawlessness that is at work, moving to the moment when the Antichrist will be revealed to the world. It's all moving into that motion. I've already talked about this before in some of our other lessons, that everything is moving to the point that's happening in the world when Jesus Christ will come back for us. Well, with that, of course, there's going to have to be the reality that everything is moving to the point where the Antichrist will be revealed. Paul stresses that the restrainer will continue his work until he is removed. So obviously this must be talking about the Holy Spirit, because he refers to them singularly, the restrainer, he. Until he is removed, this work that he is doing is going to continue to happen, that is, restrain the lawless one or the Antichrist. So let's talk about the lawless one. We see this in verses 8 through 12, the lawless one. Here's what Paul's trying to tell you and I. First of all, when we get to verse 8, we talk about the lawless one being revealed. Revealed. So what Paul is saying is this: when the restrainer is removed, the Antichrist will be revealed. So when the restrainer is gone, that is the one who's holding back the lawless one from taking his place, and everything moving into that final time, the Antichrist will be revealed when that restrainer is gone. Paul stresses the Lord will consume and destroy the Antichrist at his coming. So again, just so you understand, every time there is the discussion of the Antichrist, we've seen this in other prophecies, specifically Daniel, as well as in Zechariah, when they talk about this Antichrist, whatever name they give him, they always mention that he will be consumed and destroyed. It's not somebody who's going to ultimately win. He is a marked man for destruction. Now, with that, with, of course, the revelation of the Antichrist, you're going to notice the working of Satan. So when we come to verses 9 through the first part of verse 10, notice with me the working of Satan. Paul is going to again stress that there is a correlation. We see this especially when we get into the book of Revelation, that the Antichrist, the power behind him, is Satan. So here's what I want you to notice. The coming of the Antichrist will be supported by the works of Satan and deception. So by the works of Satan and deception, which of course, Satan is the father of lies, who deceives, this is going to support the coming of the Antichrist. Now, with that, he's going to talk about those who are deceived. So when you notice the second part of verse 10, notice with me the deceived, those who are deceived by it. Unbelievers will be deceived by the Antichrist because they did not believe the truth. Now, the reason why they're susceptible to deception is because they don't believe in the truth. What is the truth? The truth as revealed concerning Jesus and God that is found in the Scripture. And because they don't believe, they will easily be deceived by Satan and the Antichrist. In fact, he's going to point out with this deception, there's something else that we need to be aware of in verses 11 through 12. It's the delusion. The delusion that is going to happen on the world. So God confirms their unbelief and acceptance of the Antichrist with a strong delusion. So basically, they're going to believe whatever this is that's going to take place concerning the Antichrist. They're going to believe it. Now, God does this so that they will be condemned for their unbelief and rejection of truth. God deludes them into believing this because of their unbelief so that they'll be condemned. So they'll be locked in with their decision. And this is what you and I see here that Paul is pointing out to us concerning the end. And this ends really the teaching in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, concerning the coming. And so as we progress in the epistles, we're going to see what is taught to us in the other epistles in the New Testament as well in the next lessons.